If we look to Washington now, there's been votes, there's been this, that, where we migrate to the advent of the Washington morning. That's about 11:30 a.m. typically. Jack Fitzpatrick joins us now, Bloomberg government reporter. Jack, it's an open question. Is Washington actively engaged on this Tuesday? Are they on recess? Are they focused on something else? Or is it like full tilt down there?
Oh, they're going today. They're looking to wrap up this stimulus package.
Yeah.
The House is going to vote either today or tomorrow. There's a paperwork issue getting it from the Senate, but they're ready to go, and Democrats expect to pass it. And then as soon as that's done, they want to move very, very quickly on to the next big legislation.
We go to Civics 101 now. There's a paperwork issue. Is this like printing the document, and has anyone read it?
You know, we haven't gotten details on what it is this time, but in the past, they have had delays literally due to printing it and carrying it from the Senate back to the House.
Each copy is like three Gutenberg Bibles. This is like they need a trolley to get one copy out, right?
Fortunately, this one's only 628 pages.
Oh, I feel better
already.
It's
not as bad as the omnibus measures.
Jack, what's the feeling in Washington now about how this particular package, you know, kind of wound its way through Congress, i.e. really on party lines? Does that bode ill for a bigger, more stimulant type of package that needs to be done going forward?
Well, the next big thing for Democrats is going to be a lot more difficult. There are procedural hurdles and political hurdles. We're already hearing from Joe Manchin, the moderate Democrat from West Virginia, saying we have to work with Republicans at least at the beginning and give a good faith effort in a bipartisan way more than we did this time. So, you know, this bill that is about to be signed into law in the near future was the easy one for Democrats. It was significant. It was a significant victory for them. But politically, to pass a COVID relief measure with a bunch of things that are popular for your party that you are able to procedurally do along party lines is much, much easier than doing a big infrastructure tax climate combination.
Good morning, West Virginia. The second worst state in the nation by one study on bridge quality. Rhode Island takes a trophy. The Monongalia I-79 bridge over I-68 with 203,000 daily crossings, I guess, takes the trophy. That, according to the American Road and Transportation Builders Association. Doesn't Joe Manchin just go, let's do infrastructure. First, we fix the Monongalia.
You would think, and by the way, they're going to revive the use of earmarks for this package,
which
could make it even sweeter for him.
So he has a single sentence line that says we need to fix a Monongalia.
Good job on the pronunciation.
I'm getting there.
That seems easy, but the question is, do they pay for it, and if so, how? The answer that you'd get from a lot of Democrats is corporate tax increases, tax increases on the wealthy, and then it gets more difficult to do this in a bipartisan way. And it doesn't look like they can do it in a partisan way and do those earmarks.
But I'm going to be driving over the Monongalia like a million times over the next zillion years. Don't they just do bond offerings out 50 years? Why don't we pop a 50-year French perpetuity-type bond, an Austrian 99-year piece to pay for me to go across the Monongalia with Paul?
You know, I can't speak to the local funding concerns. I mean, in terms of federal infrastructure funding, it does seem very, very simple. And that on its face, the idea of doing an infrastructure package, obviously is something they've talked about for years as the bipartisan priority. It's when you get to the details of what exactly is in it, how you pay for it, and can you do it through budget reconciliation or not in order to do it in a partisan way? And the answer appears to be probably not. That's when it gets a lot more difficult.
And so, Jack, this next bill that we're talking about, is it just a default scenario where the fiscal stimulus will be paired with some type of tax overhaul policy as well?
That is not necessarily the default. There are still concerns at this point about can they do one big package and pay for it and include those tax measures, or do they try to take two shots at this, depending on how things work with the rules of the Senate. It is possible still that we'll see something bipartisan on infrastructure that doesn't include the tax measure. It gets broken off, and then they return to taxes later, probably in a more partisan way.
I mean, Paul, this is like in Durham, the can opener bridge.
They gotta fix that bridge. Oh, no, they don't. That is great video. It's the bridge where trucks...
That'll work on radio.
They come barreling down, and they don't recognize that this bridge is lower than it looks, and boom, it rips off the top of a truck. And there are, we just sit out there sometimes and just watch it happen
almost on a weekly basis. To check what you're dealing with here with a case of beer. What kind of beer did you have with your case of beer?
It was just a Bud Light and get your friends and just sit out there in your chaise lounge chairs and watch these truckers lose their trucks.
So Jack Fitzpatrick. Jack's like, why am I on this? Jack, very quickly here. Seriously, every story has a bridge. Every city has a bridge. Why can't we fix this?
We probably can. And transportation infrastructure is maybe the most low-hanging fruit in all of this. It looks likely that they're going to do something significant on that. The question is how much. There are a lot of details to be worked out. Taxes are maybe involved and maybe not. But transportation infrastructure is maybe number one on the list for actual bipartisan progress that we could see.
Jack Fitzpatrick, thank you for surviving us this section, our Bloomberg government reporter.